this keeps me going. On those days when I feel like giving up, fire.
Remember this.
Your storm is over.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You're worthy to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to believe no matter what's going on. Hallelujah. There is power in your faith. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and my husband is on the line. That's why you had the long pause, because I was waiting for him to say something, and he probably was waiting for me to say something as he rushes into the house. So we just thank God for this day. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for Bible study. Amen. The way that we grow spiritually is through studying the Bible. Baby, leave your phone on, because we're going to do it through your phone. The way that we grow spiritually is through studying the Bible, studying the Word of God, allowing that Word to feed our spirits, and studying to show ourselves approved workmen who are approved unto the Lord. So we thank God that that Word not only helps us to grow spiritually, not only helps us to do the work of the ministry, to go forth and share the gospel with others, but it also serves as a double-edged sword, which begins to cut out anything in us that is not pleasing to God. So we thank God for the Word. My God, I thank God for the Word, hallelujah, that is wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. My God, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will teach us all things. So with God's Word and the power of the Holy Ghost, we are equipped with everything that we need to press forward and be, do, and have what God has ordained for us to be, do, and have. So I'm excited about what Pastor Anthony is going to be bringing us on tonight as he prepares to come and share the Word with us. So I'm going to open in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your hand upon our lives. We thank you for this day that you have made. We are rejoicing and being glad in it. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We magnify your name. We exalt your name, oh God. Yet will we praise you, oh God. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on around us, oh God, we will continually keep a praise in our mouth, a praise in our hearts, and your praise coming forth from our lips, because you are worthy. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we ask, Father God, that you will bless this time of Bible study. Bless this time of divine impartation. Bless this time of studying in your Word. Bless us, Father God, as we open our Bibles. But, Lord, give us hearts and minds, oh God, and ears and eyes, Father God, to see, to receive, to hear what you have to say to us on today through your manservant, through your Word. So, Lord, we just thank you in advance, Father God, for the Word that's going to come forth. We ask that you bless Pastor Anthony. Bless him, oh God, as he has worked all day, as he has worked taking care of his family out in the field. And, Lord, even as he comes in to labor in your house, to labor amongst your people, to sow into our lives, through your word. We ask, Father God, that you will bless him, O God. Anoint him, O God, with power from on high. Restore him, O God. Revive him. Refresh him, O God, so that he, Father God, can continue, Father God, to do the work that you have called him to do. So, Lord, we just thank you for this Bible study, and we praise you. We give you all glory. We give you all honor, and we give you all praise. And it's in the precious, matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray. Amen. Amen. And praise God. So, again, welcome to the Bible study. And at this time, I turn it over into the hands of our pastor, Anthony Simmons. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, darling. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do tonight and share tonight. Let's go to our Bibles. To God be the glory. After that wonderful introduction, John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, and I will begin sharing where we're gonna and what we're gonna talk about tonight. But I'm gonna read first, and then we'll share as I highlight some of these verses in John chapter number 14, beginning at verse number 12. To God be the glory. We thank God for you this evening. Hallelujah. John 14, verse number 12. The gospel according to John, the 14th chapter, looking at verse number 12. And it reads like this: Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believe on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Right now, this is John chapter number 14 is a chapter where Christ promises the Comforter, promises his disciples the Holy Spirit. And in another gospel, he said, I won't leave you as orphans. But in this one, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. In our day, glory be to God, we have gotten accustomed and we have gotten used to comfort and conveniences. Please, somebody say amen. Right now, I'm doing this Bible study through a cell phone and through technology of the laptop and other technological devices that you may be hearing me through. And life has become convenient as far as the phone technology. There was a time where we carried dimes in our pocket. Amen, somebody. We had to have exact change, and we had to have loose change. And then we had to find a phone that worked and operated. Or in that day, we would make a collect call. But we have certain conveniences today. And with these conveniences, if we're not careful, we can become casual and we can become complacent as Christians. But the Bible declares that you and I are the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth, and we cannot lose our saltiness, nor can we allow our light to be dimmed. So we must allow this word to continue to come into our lives. We need the word of God to come into our eye gate, our ear gate, our mouth gate. We need the word of God to come into us that we can be equipped to do the work of an evangelist. He says in verse number 12, the works that I do, you shall do also. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He preached the gospel and the good news. He raised the dead. He spoke the word of God. He had glory be to God. He was a provider for those in lack. He was the one that gave speech to the mute, eyes of sight to the blind, ears that were deaf. He allowed them to be open and people heard. Those who were lost, glory be to God. He ministered the word of God to them. And he says, these works will you do, and watch this, beloved. He said, and greater works. What does he mean by greater works? You and I are living in the day where there are millions and billions of people on the face of the earth. There are a lot more souls to be saved in our day than in the day that the Bible was written, in this time of John and the time of Jesus. There are a lot more opportunities through technology and through media and through so many advancements that we can do greater works. Yes, as our faith increases, yes, as the day approaches of the end times, yes, the enemy is rising up like never before, but we as believers, we as Christians, we as the body of Christ have this opportunity that John wrote about in this 14th chapter of doing greater works. Amen, somebody. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. Number one, greater works, but my main emphasis, I want to speak on this, the spirit of truth, the purpose and position of the spirit of truth or the Holy Spirit. The purpose and position and power of the Holy Spirit. Again, the purpose, the power, the position of the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, Jesus said it plainly. Whether we feel it, whether we believe it, whether we agree with it, in verse 17, he says this, I will pray to my Father, we got to be in agreement, and he shall give you another comforter. While I was with you on the earth, I was the one protecting you. I was the one providing. I was the one, amen, ministering. But now that I go to the Father, we are going to send you the comforter, the spirit of truth. And Jesus said, he will be with you, dwelleth in you, and he shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is going to dwell with you, and it will be in you. Glory be to God. That's the position of the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. You and I, if we are born-again believers, we have the spirit of the living God on the inside of us. Not only that, the Holy Spirit is with us. Remember in Luke chapter 1, where Mary got the word from the angel Gabriel, and she said to him, "Hi, how is this going to happen?" He said, the Holy Spirit is going to come what? Upon you. And the Most High will what? Overshadow you. And all throughout the Old Testament, you'll see periodically on Samson, on Elijah, on so many back in that day in Moses, it says the Spirit of the God came upon men of old. And that was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as he came upon people in the Old Testament. He gave them what? Power. He empowered them. So this is how you and I can perform and have the opportunity to do greater works. He said, ask anything in my name, and I will pray to the Father, and it will be done to you. As we look at our nation and look at these last 4, 5 to 6 presidents, as we look at the inauguration service, now in our time, we have this intolerance. And we want to be politically correct as a nation. And we do not want to offend any other religion. And because of that, they tell who's ever praying not to pray in the name of Jesus. But, oh, glory be to God. The name has power. Come on, somebody. The name has authority. Amen. The name has ability beyond any other name. So when we pray and we don't seal it, I pray this in the name of Jesus, we're just sharing empty words that make people feel good. We must pray in the name. As we look at our nation, we need to get prayer back in the schools. We need to get prayer back in the White House. We need to pray in the name. I'm sorry who's offended, but we need to pray in the name. Let's keep it moving. Go to Luke. Luke chapter number 9. I kind of want to stay on point tonight because there's a lot to cover. And I want us to highlight the Holy Spirit, again, the purpose, the power, and the position of the Holy Spirit. But as we look at Luke chapter number 9, we're going to pull some things out of here starting at verse number 1. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse number 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staffs nor scrip. Don't even take bread or money, neither take two coats. Take one suit of clothing. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and stay, and then depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They began to do greater works. They began to do the work of an evangelist. They began to heal the sick. They begin to cast out devils. They begin to preach the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, hallelujah, that he told them, listen, don't take no money, don't take no food, don't take too many clothes. Totally depend on the Spirit. Totally depend on the power and the authority that I gave you. He gave them power. He gave them strength. He gave them ability. He gave them authority. And then he gave them provision. He gave them power. He gave them provision. He gave them authority. He gave them ability. And he gave them strength, as it is here in Luke chapter number 9. And God is saying to us today, when we recognize the ability and the power and the use and position of the Holy Spirit, we will be better Christians and impacting this world in a better and bigger way. Far too many believers, far too many saints stay stuck in the past. Sometimes through rejection, sometimes through a hurtful betrayal, sometimes through church hurt and offense, we stay right there. Some people have left the church because they say the church hurt me and I was offended by my last pastor or somebody in the church. I was betrayed by another Christian or somebody I trusted in and had faith in. I was rejected. The church didn't embrace me. There were certain cliques and certain circles that I couldn't fit in. And God is saying, listen, do like what Jesus told his disciples to do. Shake the dust off if people don't receive you. Shake yourself loose and keep it moving and don't harbor that in your heart. Allow yourself to be free and free indeed, even after the spirit of offense, being rejected, being betrayed. God is saying, no, don't stay in that desolate place. Do not stay in that dry place. Do not stay in that dead place. I need to water you with the word. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I love the word of God because it refreshes me. It waters me when I'm getting dry, when I'm getting weary, when I'm getting tired and worn out. This is why, you know, when you hear that phrase that pastors are getting burnt out and pastors are getting overwhelmed and overloaded because they're trying to do all of the work and they see themselves sometimes not having the work that they need. But guess what, pastor? Guess what, man or woman of God? When you find yourself in his word, you get a supernatural strength. In the midst of discouragement, you get a supernatural infilling. Come on, amen, somebody. Please, can I get an amen? It's something about the word of God that ignites you and energizes you and replenishes you and re-strengthens you that makes you say, okay, I'm going to go one more day. I'm going to try it again. I'm just going to go and believe by faith one more time. And we don't get burnt out. We don't quit. We do not give up. Because guess what? It's not us. It is the power, the position, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit helping us. We said it last night, even in our infirmities. We don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit gives us an unction through intercessions and groanings and mournings, and he helps us. To God be the glory. If you're still in the book of Luke, chapter 9, look at verse number 49 and verse 50. If you're still in Luke, chapter number 9, and I pray you're taking notes, look at Luke, chapter 9, verse 49 and 50. Jesus said we got to pray in that name. We got to use the name. But here in Luke, chapter number 9 still, let me find it. Looking at verse 49 and verse 50. Verse 49 says, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and we forbid him to do that because he followed not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. The disciples, the 12 disciples, saw another man casting out a devil in the name of Jesus. And obviously, he was effective in doing so. And the disciples said, because he's not a part of our clique, and not a part of our following, not sitting under you directly, Jesus, we told him to stop. And Jesus said, no, if those who are doing the work of an evangelist, the work of the ministry, if they're helping the kingdom advance, don't forbid them. Do not tell them to stop. Because if they're not against us, they're for us, it's all good. Amen, somebody. There's no one church, there's no one denomination, there's no one sect, there's no one ideology, there's no one belief. We are the body of Christ, and God needs all of us, the AME, African American Methodist, the Lutheran, amen, the Presbyterian Church, the non-denominational church, the Baptist Church. God needs all of us, the Pentecostal Kojic Church. He needs all hands on board. And this spirit of division between denominations and the body of Christ, that's the devil. The devil sows discord. That's why God said, I hate discord. I hate that spirit of division. The devil divides. Remember in Genesis chapter number 3, the serpent came and lied to Eve and then lied to Adam. And guess what? They hid themselves. What began to happen? The first fall of man. But what began to happen? There began a separation. He hid from God. Before he had fellowship with God, he had relationship with God. He had something going on with God that cannot be repeated. And now Adam is hiding. And he said, Adam, where art thou? Why have you separated yourself from me? And why are you hiding from me? Because the devil is a liar. That's what he went our sin to do. He went our sin and our sin nature to separate us from the saints and the Savior. Don't allow him to do it. We're going to look at that verse in a minute. Let him who still no more. Yes, you may have fallen short. Yes, you may not be where you want to be. But we're talking about the power, the purpose, and the position of the Holy Spirit. Give God time to help you. Give God time, the time that you need. Don't get frustrated, that void that you're feeling, that emptiness that you're feeling, that inadequacy that you feel sometimes, that shame and that guilt and that embarrassment and that condemnation that you feel sometimes. Give God time, people of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, offering our bodies. Let's go there. It's in my notes, but I wasn't going to go there, but I need to go there, and then we're going to come right back to Luke chapter number 10. As a matter of fact, let's stay here for a minute. Let's stay here for a minute because I need to close out this chapter. There's something else I wanted to highlight here in Luke chapter number 9, and then we're going to Romans 12 very quickly. But Luke chapter number 9, look at verse number 58. Verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go you your way and preach the kingdom of God. And another one said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and say goodbye and farewell to my house and my family. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I preached the word on Sunday, how we have to develop that determination for manifestation. And part of that message was simply about not quitting, not giving up on God, not throwing in the towel, not stopping. Become unstoppable. Become unshakable, unmovable in your faith. We're going to look at faith in a moment, and we're going to look at what God wants to do through the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the Spirit of God is trying to lead us to the right career and to the right marriage. Lead us into the right ministry, into the right opportunities. The Holy Spirit is trying to lead us out of sickness and poverty. It's trying to guide and advise and counsel us out of the pit of life. The Holy Spirit is trying to transition us and transform us into a better human being. And it takes time to do that for all of us. For all have fallen short of the glory of Almighty God. But look at Romans chapter number 12 very quickly. Romans chapter number 12. We have to give the Holy Spirit time to work in our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. There's a level of faith that you have. There's a degree of faith that I have. Every creature under the sun has a measure of faith. I can't do your walk for you, and you can't live my journey and go through my walk for me. But we all have a daily choice every day. Every day we have a choice to choose God, to choose life, to choose blessings, to choose right over wrong. Every single day we must make choices and decisions with our lives. The Holy Spirit gives you that discernment, gives you that wisdom and knowledge, gives you that intuitive nature that you need to make good, godly decisions with your life on a regular basis. So give God time. Come to church. Come to Bible study. Come to prayer. Meditate on the Word day and night. Read the Holy Scriptures. Memorize them. Meditate on them. And watch your life begin to be transformed. Amen. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, because I want to focus on the position, the power, the purpose of the Holy Spirit tonight. Greater works are we going to do. To God be all the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit search all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us from God. I want to back up a little to that verse number 11. No, it says, for what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of a man? We think we know people, but you don't know them until you know their spirit. Oh, glory be to God. I'm going to say that one more time. John said, test the spirit by the spirit. We do not know people until we can recognize the spirit that's in that person. The spirit is why we are who we are. It is the spirit of a man, the spirit of a woman that defines who we are. That's why in your private time, behind closed doors, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. When we have those decisions to make and a tempt is coming and the devil's trying, listen. The devil, he is a liar and he is a deceiver. And so many people underestimate the power of the devil. Oh, he's weak, he's slew-footed, the devil don't have that much power. Listen, he deceived a third of the angels in heaven to go against God. He deceived angels to turn against God. So you know he is cunning. He is crafty. He is slick and tricky. So we as human beings, we who are, the Bible says, man have been made a little lower than the angels. We have been created a little lower than the angels. So if the devil deceived one third of the angels, and they all were cast out of glory, out of heaven, How much do we need the Holy Spirit to help us to stay on point, to stay in position, to stay on board? And this is why so many believers, you see it, and people are saying, well, what's wrong with the church? What's wrong with the body of Christ? Why does the church seem so weak and ineffective? Because we need to start preaching and talking about the power of the Holy Spirit again. We need to start operating from what we know and what we know Jesus did. He said, I give you power to heal the sick. That was the Spirit. I give you power to preach. That was the Spirit. I give you power to cast out demons. That was the Spirit of God. And until we get back to that position and we try to do it in our own strength, that one addicted, that one demon possessed, that one struggling in the flesh, we need the Spirit to really start demonstrating the supernatural once again. We need the Spirit to help us. So we can't look at, go back to Luke chapter number 10. Am I done here in 1 Corinthians? No, stay put. I'm sorry. Stay put in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. It said, we have not received the Spirit. I remember preaching this in North Carolina to the men. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but we receive the Spirit of God. And you and I have a new spirit. We, my wife and I, when we started the ministry, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creature or new creation. The old have passed away. Behold, everything had become new. In other words, we have a body, have a soul, and we have a spirit. We are spiritual beings that possess a soul, and we live in a body. Now, our spirit is new if we are Christians. If we're born again, we have a new spirit instantaneously. When we get saved and give our life to Christ, our spirit is new through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our souls, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Our soul, the mind, our will, what we want to do, our mind, our thoughts, and our emotions, that's our soul. We need to sit up under the Word of God. We need to pray because our soul needs to be transformed from being mastered by the body to being mastered by the Spirit. And now the only way that soul can change is by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing through the Word of God. Our will begins to change. Our desires and our appetites and our hunger begin to change toward the things of God. Amen, somebody. Our will. There was a time in my life where I used to want to get high, want to drink. I used to want and have a desire and a hunger and thirst to party. I no longer have that appetite. Now I have a hunger and a thirst and a will for the things of God. Because guess what? My soul has been renewed. My mind has been renewed. I allowed the Word to come in for the last 20, 23 years of my life. I allowed and developed myself to preaching and teaching and TV evangelists and listening to spiritual CDs and music. And guess what? My life began to be transformed. And just like you, the more Word that come in, the more light that come in, the more Scripture that come in, you automatically become that new creature. Just like a glass of water. If you got a muddy glass of water and you keep pouring clear water in, it could be dirty, dark, and eventually it'll get lighter and lighter and lighter. And after a while, it's a clear glass of water because all that polluted, all that toxin, all that poison has gone out because fresh water kept coming in. And living waters keep coming into our lives. Amen, somebody. But I want to talk about the body for a minute. When Adam fell, all men became sinners automatically because of the fall in Genesis chapter number 3. We all have that sin nature now because of what Adam did. We all have it, all of us, from the pastor to the bishop to the apostle, all of us. But look at verse number 13. Still in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 13 now. which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit teach, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man, that's that body I'm talking about, our natural man, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerning or spiritually discerned. The natural man. Before I became a Christian, I thought like the world, I acted like the world, I believed like the world. So, you know, when people laid hands and they spoke the word, some of that stuff seemed foolish to me at first, because I had the mind of the world, and you had the mind of the world. So when people talked about the supernatural, and they talked about spiritual things, they talked about the anointing and invisible power of God, because we learned so much from the world and this system, this Babylonian system that we all live in. That's why I said be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to now learn new and unlearn the old. So the natural man, we have natural inclinations. We have natural tendencies. We have natural things that we desire, because guess what? That's the flesh. And far too many believers are not allowing the Spirit to be in position, to operate in its purpose, and to use the power to say no to sin. It is the Holy Spirit in you that's first still small voice that say, no, no, no. Turn the car around. Don't do that. Don't look at that. The Spirit is saying, don't stay home. Go to church. That's the Spirit saying, no, don't spend that money at the mall. That's your tithing money. That's that still small voice. That's the Holy Spirit. So into that ministry. Help those pastors. Go ahead and minister to your children. Pray over your children. Have family fellowship again at the dinner table. Your family's struggling. Y'all need to get back to praying as a family. That's the Holy Spirit. You and your wife need to come together and pray. You need to pray for your husband. Pray for your children. Guess what? That's the Holy Spirit leading you. That's that still small voice that's unctioning you and trying to get you and leading you into righteousness. But if you continue to drown out that voice, if you continue to go contrary to that voice, if you continue to move away from that voice, it can get weaker and weaker and weaker. And let's see how that can happen. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. I pray this is helping you, because even as I'm teaching, it's helping me. To God be the glory. Ephesians. I remember in the marriage ministry years ago in the church Pastor Rebecca and I came from, we had to speak from our favorite book of the Bible. And at that time, this was my favorite book of the Bible. And it's only 6 chapters. And I made 6 points, and I took each chapter and I made a point from that chapter. And they used to call me preacher from that point on. But I took the book of Ephesians, and I did a little homily. Amen. To God be the glory. And I remember that even as I'm looking at it today. But Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 22. Boy, there's so much here. And time is not trying to permit me, but I'm a backup anyway. Okay, I'm not going to rush through this. Ephesians chapter number 4, go way back to verse number 4. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. all this pluralism, there are many ways to get to heaven. The devil is a liar. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can get to the Father but through and by me. So I hate to break the news to other faiths and other religions, but right now is one God, one faith, one baptism, one spirit, one God. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Look at verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, yeah, I'm going to go to what I wanted to go to, verse number 22. I'm going to read the whole chapter, but I don't have the time. Verse number 22, that you put off concerning the old conversation, the old man. That's what I was talking about, getting our body and our flesh under control. Paul says, put that off. Put away the old conversation, cursing and lying and stealing and complaining and backbiting. He says, stop doing that. Put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And he says in verse number 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It all starts in our mind. He says, renew your mind by the Spirit, and that you put on the new man. How do we put on the new man? Which is after God and created in righteousness and true holiness. We put on the new man by allowing the Holy Spirit to stay in position, stay in purpose, and stay in power in our lives. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, I just want to stop there because this verse helped me and my wife in our early Christian walk. Because we had an anger problem, we had a temper problem. People look at us today and they don't believe that. I just can't see Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca ever being angry, ever having a temper problem, because they smile and they have joy and they have love and they have compassion for people. But guess what? That was our issue, anger. And we were angry for good reason. But he says right here, and this helped me way back when my marriage was going bad and we had a blended family, I used to get easily angry. He said, be angry, but sin not. There's another text in James that said, be slow to anger. Don't be so quick. Sometimes people can push our buttons quick. Our children and our grandchildren can get us just in a rage. Quick. There are certain people that can push our buttons and push our triggers, and we get angry. And it says, be slow to anger. But it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't go to bed angry. Try to resolve that thing, especially for you married people. I wanted to make that point because that helped me and Pastor Rebecca in our marriage. Sometimes we would have long nights talking and discussing certain things because we refuse to go to bed angry. Amen? It says, neither give place, in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him who steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to those in need. I'm going to start wrapping up. But it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, the Bible, we teach a lot on marriage, Pastor Rebecca and myself. We know we're called to help marriages. When we do our marriage seminars and our marriage workshops and our marriage forums, some of y'all got our marriage book. We teach this. A soft answer turns away wrath. Sometimes that husband and that wife, they're arguing. And guess what? If just one of them begin to speak softly, begin to tone it down, begin to speak in a normal voice, guess what? The other person brings it down. And all of a sudden, you're bringing resolve. You're diffusing the situation. A soft answer turns away wrath, the proverb writer says. When you begin to speak softly to your children, your grandchildren, your significant other, you begin to communicate effectively, more effectively, because now you're talking in a normal voice. You're getting things done. And people involved in domestic violence and people involved in abuse, and there's some children who run away from home because their parents are arguing all the time. And there's so much arguing, fussing, and fighting under that roof. And right here, the Bible teaches us, bring it down through that soft answer. But I said all that to get to verse number 30, and I'm going to wrap it up. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I need to say that one more time. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Be kind one to another, be tenderhearted, given to one another as Christ has forgiven you. Learn how to forgive others. The power, position, and purpose of the Holy Spirit is so evident as Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. He was saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to do a work in our lives. While we are here in this natural body, he said, I'll send you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. That's what happened at the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came as a rushing, mighty wind. And the Spirit is still here on the earth realm. And when the church and the pastors get back to preaching about the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to start to see signs, wonders, and miracles and greater works, and the manifestation of God's word at a greater degree. But as long as pastors and parishioners and congregations and individual people, and even corporately, as we try to do it in our own strength, we just can't do it. That's why I said, when you put your hands to the plow and look back, we're not fit for the kingdom. So God is saying to you and I tonight, let the Holy Spirit do what it do through his power, through his purpose, and through his position in our lives. The Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit is upon you, and the Holy Spirit is in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these, your people. Continue to minister to them even as we go off the air tonight through the Holy Spirit. That voice that's telling them to do right, the voice that's telling them to help the body of Christ, that still small voice that's telling them to forgive themselves and to forgive others, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, that one on the inside of us that's speaking the words of Jesus and God the Father. And we're going to go now. But look at the Holy Spirit not as a thing, but as a person. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's called the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Those of you in the New Jersey area, see you Sunday. Please sow a seed this way if you're being led. Every dollar, every dime, every hundred, it's helping us do the work of the ministry. We thank God for every tither, every sower, every giver in the name of Jesus. And I know there's a word from the Lord on Sunday. It is a holiday weekend. Those of you who are not in the area, enjoy your barbecue, enjoy your cookouts, eat a rib and a hot dog and a hamburger on me. And we thank God for you as you celebrate Memorial Day weekend, all of those veterans who have gone home, who served this country. My father was a veteran, and he was memorialized as well, and we thank God for him. So go in peace and serve your God. God bless you. Love you. Good night.